Blog Talk Radio.
Urban Glory Radio. Simply glory.
Let's pray and get right into the lesson. Father, we thank you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought as I make manifold known the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the ears of the people to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and revealed, you be glorified. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. If you have a notebook, I would ask that you get a notebook and take down some information that we're going to give you. It's going to bless your life. It's going to help you be a stronger Christian. And in that, we are pursuing the Word of God to be committed, to be connected, so that we can also be commissioned to do what God has called us to do. And I have the privilege and the task to be able to share with you not a popular subject in Christianity, but it is also a necessity in Christianity, and that is on the subject of giving. And, I was challenged by my staff to really do a teaching on it. I have talked to people over the years about developing the mindset of a giver. And the goal is quite simple, just to develop a culture of generosity. And that we will do by the help of the Holy Spirit. So it's imperative that we, as the body of Christ, begin to talk and discuss about giving. Now, if you have your notebook, also have your Bible handy, because I'm going to go to a number of scriptures tonight. But tonight is more of a historical understanding, and we're going to get into a little bit the historical understanding of the tithe, down south we say the tithe, and that is actually the proper way to say it. We, up north we say tithes and offering, but it's the tithe, meaning the tenth, and we're going to talk about that glorious tenth today. In addition to other things, we are going to review a little bit. But let me start with reading our main passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Wherefore ye noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty. This is money that he's talking about. Bounty is money. And not as a covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or under of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able, glory to God, he is able, to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work, as it is written. Now here's the principle. He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Christians are ascribed to the righteousness of God. And ascribing to his righteousness is taking on his characteristics as the right path, as the right motive, as the right means to living out the life that he intended for us to live. And we know that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so the God that dies, yes, Lord, he provides as we trust God with our lives. And heed to the directives that he has placed in his word as a governing factor for our lives. He will do his part, and we will do our part. And when that covenant is established in our lives, to first obey God, then to do what he says, we will spend our days in prosperity, as the scripture says, and our years in success. Giving is sacrificial, something that is a spiritual gift, and it must be taught through the lens of stewardship. Generosity and generous giving is a gospel issue. Giving for the church to help minister to the needs of not only the people spiritually, but also physically. And generous giving is also motivated to challenge the church to promote Christianity and the worship of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we become united with this focus, we can represent God through this culture And God presents a counterculture to the world so that the world will know that we as children of God are not the same. We have an order that is superior to their system, and the solution is with us. In saying that, it's important that there be some things established. And this is where we get into learning what it means to be the church. The church is a revelation and a revolution of what happened in the past historically. It is the solvent to the system of sin that is contrary to the will of God. It is the solution. The church is. And so if the church is that solution, not only is it spiritually, not only is it socially, but it also is economically. And we have to have discussions occasionally reminding us in the church and those that are desiring to be a part of the church that it is not just a spiritual commitment. You know, being in the church is not just a spiritual commitment. The New Testament church understood this because they understood that their imprint on history was a total transformation, separation, isolation from the world. But today's culture presents a dilemma where we don't really set parameters on what is contrary to the system of God from the system of the world. So you have people in the church and outside of the church trying to establish guidelines for God's system that were never set for God's system. And so when you have people that are really attempting to live out their Christianity and the God system, if they do not come in contact with the history that's in the scripture, preserved in the word of God, they will do things contrary to God's word that will set them back perpetually to receiving the quality of life which God has ordained for those that profess Christianity. And we saw this in the Bible. And we see it in the lives of many Christians today that are not experiencing what they believe God has intended for their lives. Now, you know, some people say, well, why are you talking about giving on this broadcast? Well, this is important. Everything that we do requires sacrificial efforts to serve God. And service to God is exactly that. It's service. It's a sacrificial actions made to ensure that God's system is protected, realized, and actualized on the earth. And in order to do that, we're going to have to discuss about finances. And if we learn what it means to be committed and to be connected, when we go to present God to the world, God can use us as the examples needed to display that this is not a religion, just a mere theoretical practice. This is not an association of great ideas that never come into fruition. This is a people that are committed, meaning that they are serving, they are satisfied in Christ, and they are set on obeying the word of God. And these are also people that are connected, meaning they have God's characteristics, they take on God's nature and power and essence, and in return, God commissions them not only to be an example, but he qualifies them with living proof that he's on their side. Signs and wonders follow believers. And we cannot neglect that when it comes to our economic stability. And that's why the church must begin to speak on different levels and gain greater access and understanding to this principle of giving. Amen. Now, let's pick up from where we left off last week. And I'll start with this principle, and then we'll get back into the Levitical offerings because I want you to understand the nature of sacrifice and why things were done. So that way when you go to give an offering or give tithes, you have an understanding. And like I said, if you can't find it in scripture, don't believe me. Go back into the word of God and you will see that the things that I'm giving you today and the things that were set as God's system still works and still exists. Amen. Now, let me just knock this out of the water. There is a commentary that goes with this particular teaching called the Culture of Generosity Commentary. And that is a six-hour teaching on this particular subject. It goes through this in even more depth because I don't have that much time on the air to really give you all of what I want to give you. But you can take these principles and use it and apply it to your life. But there's also more to this particular teaching, and you want to get all of it. And so there's a PDF that comes with this particular teaching along with 6 hours systematic study of the Word of God on the subject of giving so you can understand the culture of generosity and be effective in your church. There are some things that I'm not going to teach on in this one, particularly as it pertains to participating and evaluating your church's effectiveness. And you can do that through calculated observances on your giving and your receiving. And I talk about in the commentary how to know if what you're giving is going to the work of the gospel and if you're receiving those returns. And we can evaluate. The scripture tells us to examine ourselves to see whether we're in faith. But I'm not going to go over that on the air. We got one more lesson on the air, and that'll be it for this particular subject. But I want you to go back and listen to the commentary so you can get even more answers to this giving. I'm also not going to teach on the first fruit offering on this particular one, but in this particular lesson, you want to get the commentary so you can learn what first fruits are, because there's a lot of deception, a lot of things going on, and a lot of type of manipulations, and you want to know what the common church manipulations are to giving. You want to get the curriculum. So that's what you want to do. Search our website, find out how you can get that curriculum, and be blessed. But now, we're going to be talking tonight about the Levitical offering and the legacy of the tithe. The Levitical offering and the legacy of the tithe. That the church, as the body of Christ, is commissioned to complete the evangelistic plans for the world. And in the same way, Jesus is committed to providing the same benefits to complete his task. Aren't you glad that we got a God that is committed and a Savior that is committed? The Lord Jesus is committed to assisting us with the task to fulfill the plan of God. That plan is evangelistic. And the Bible tells us to let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify God which is in heaven. And we do that through the display of our works. And part of that is our culture of generosity through giving. And so what we see is historically why we see the people of God becoming the place where God dwells as the church of God. Now, the church of God was the historic imprint of the church was the Old Testament church, tabernacle, or the temples. But they were perfected in Christ when God ripped the veil of partition in Hebrews. You can go to Hebrews. And he perfected them that are sanctified through the Lord Jesus Christ. That we don't have to bring sacrificial offerings for sin's sake. We don't have to bring sacrificial offerings for sin's sake. But we can offer to God the fruit of our lips and the sacrifices of praise as acts of righteousness. Now, if you have his heart and you see that others are attempting to complete the task of his heart, you will have no problem giving to God. But I can already tell you, if you already are set on not being a consistent, committed giver to the Lord, you're not going to see God bless you and perfect your household. And you know this. You don't have to be beat it over your head with that reality. You can already measure the quality of your life and see that. But historically, we see in Scripture that God anointed the people of God and God honored the people of God. Anointed means to empower, to prosper. But God blessed the works of people's hands, those without salvation, when they were committed to giving. And we know that Moses, when establishing the law of God, which was the order of God through the Ten Commandments, devoted his family, the first generation of his family, his cousins, as the priests, to offer sacrifices for the people, so that the promise of God could be perpetuated from generation to generation. And it is the model of those offerings which we have that purpose of heart. As each man has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Glory to God. But it is the examples of old and us looking historically at the scriptures that gives us a clear picture as to what we should do today. They gave and they had purposes behind their giving, and so should we. As each man has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then God is able to make all grace abound toward you, my God from Zion. I thank God and give God praise. So we said last week, and we kind of hit it, but we didn't give explanation, that there were five offerings. And let's look at them. Write them down with me. Number one was the burnt offering. And the burnt offering was a sacrifice that was completely burnt. None of it was to be eaten at all, and therefore the fire consumed the whole sacrifice. It was important to know that the fire on the altar was to never go out. And so the first offering that you see historically in Scripture, and there are five of them, which goes with my tradition of speaking. 5 points, five sections, five subsections, 5 points of convictions. You know, I'm into the five. I would rather speak five words of understanding than to speak in an unknown tongue and you not understand what I'm saying. So the principle of five is the principle of grace. The principles of five are the principles of understanding. And so we have five offerings in the Bible that we see based in the Old Testament that we reflect on when we give to God. It helps set the purpose of heart. The purpose of heart was you don't give without there being a motive. God sees your motive, and if you're with God, it connects to meaning. And if it connects to meaning, the meaning and the motive collision will cause a methodology to come about, things to go to working in the spiritually, the unseen and the seen. And then from that methodology coming out, there'll be a manifestation. And that manifestation will all come as a living proof to the world so they can see who's mighty in the earth. God is mightier in the earth. So here's the first offering was the burnt offering. And the offering of the burnt offering was an offering that was given to the Lord. And they took a sheep or an animal, and they would take an altar that had an unquenchable fire. Fire is indicative of the Holy Spirit. They would take it as it ever being burnt to go and place it on the altar for the people. The second one that the Israelites did, and of course, you know, the chosen people were the Israelites, so we study Jewish history to reflect on the relevance of why we do what we do, but we know that God perfected Judaism through Christianity, and that is something that we're going to be discussing in the future. But we are talking about our commitment, and you got to understand commitment so you understand why we are committed. And Jesus came came to fulfill all the law from Judaism. And part of his fulfillment of the law was the offerings that were given. And he was slain before the foundation of the world as a burnt offering for the sins of the world. And so this particular offering was a memorial, prophetic memorial for what was to be fulfilled in the life of Jesus. And so that's a very important offering. The burnt offerings. Number two, the second offering was the meal offering. The Israelites offered a meal, which were cereals or vegetables in addition to the animals. They were feeding the Lord. Hallelujah. Leviticus in chapter 2, it mentions four kinds of cereal offerings given in cooking instructions for each. In Leviticus chapter 2, you can see all of them. And the center could offer dough from wheat flour baked in the oven, cooked or on a griddle, fried in a pan, or roasted to make bread. As an offering of the first fruit. All right. Now, all offerings were made with oil and salt and no honey, and leaven were to be used. Oil and salt preserved while honey and leaven would spoil. Interesting. The worshiper was also to bring a portion of incense, frankincense, which is smelling during this meal offering. And the meal offering were brought to one of the priests who would take it to the altar, cast a memorial portion on the fire, and he did this also with incense. The priest ate the remainder, and lest he was bringing the meal offering for himself, where he would burn the whole thing. The purpose of the meal offering, and this is key, was an offering of gifts and speaks of a life that is dedicated to the generosity of giving. So the meal offering was a dedication to the Lord. Now, this is what happens when you're giving. You can take from the two. You're sacrificing and you're dedicating from the two offerings that we just learned about. All right, now then there was another offering in the scripture. Number three was the peace offering. And the peace offering was a meal that was shared with the Lord, the priest, and sometimes the common Israelites. We know this also to be in communion was a form of a peace offering. The worshiper was to bring a male and a female oxen, sheep, or goat. The ritual was closely compared to the burnt offering up to the point of the actual burning where the animal's blood and was poured around the edges of the altar. The fat and the entrails were burned, and the remainder was eaten by the priest. And if a free will offering, by the worshipers themselves. So the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving was most of the time a voluntary act. The peace offering included unleavened cakes. The priest ate all except the memorial portion of the cakes and certain parts of the animals on the same day the sacrifice was made. And the worshipers joined in the offering of the free will. The worshiper could eat for 2 days of a whole animal except the breast and the right thigh, which were eaten by the priest. That might be why I like white meat. I'm just glory to God. It's fun to enjoy the word. And you can look at Genesis 31 to get a better understanding of this in 43. Jacob and Laban offered a peace offering when they made their treaty. And that's a key word to the tie, a treaty, in Genesis 31:43. And it was required to make offerings while a vow of one's life to God and thanksgiving for him and in praise, while a free will offering was made voluntary. So the peace offering was a powerful offering, and that is the main one of the main purposes behind us giving today, out of praise and thanksgiving to God. And in praise and thanksgiving to God, we're also linking up with our brothers and sisters to give and feast perpetually in his provision. And that's the reason why we give to the Lord today. It hasn't changed. We see sacrifice, we see dedication, we see praise and thanksgiving in the first three offerings. Now the fourth offering is the sin offering. And this is expedited offering given for sin. It is to pay the debt in full. How many know God can give us the wisdom to pay things in full? Hallelujah. And the worshipers were unintentional weakness and failures before the Lord. So we know that mankind came up short, so they would give this offering. Sins of the high priest required the offering of a bull, and the blood was not poured on the altar, but sprinkled from the finger of the hand of the priest 7 times, which is the number of completion, on the altar. Then the fat was burnt, and the remainder was never burned, never eaten outside of the camp unto a clean place. This is a cleansing offering where the sacrifices was made and threshes were poured out. Sins of the leaders required the offerings of a male goat. The blood was sprinkled once and the remainder was poured around the altar as with the burnt offering. Sins of the common Israelites required offerings as well. And so in this particular offering, we see that they were done for the people, on behalf of the people. But it was done for the sake of cleansing. Here are 4 reasons why we give. We give because we are giving sacrificially to God. We're giving to be dedicated to God. We're giving for praise and thanksgiving. And we're giving for the cleansing and the removal of our debt. Hallelujah. And this was done historically, and it's also empowered spiritually. And that's what we're going to get into the next lesson. All right, but let's keep going. The fifth offering was the trespass offering. Now, this was very similar to the sin offering, but the main difference was the trespass offering was an offering of money for the sins of ignorance connected with fraud. For example, if someone unintentionally cheated another out of money or property, his sacrifice was equal to the amount taken, plus 1/5 to the priest and the one offended. Therefore, he would pay twice the amount taken plus 40%. So here we see another offering, and that is the offering of accounts. You know, an offering of accounts. Trespass was taken into consideration of things that we might have missed, overlooking, not taking consideration of. That's the pursuit of sanctification. It's another form of sacrificial offering. Saying, hey, I might have did something wrong, but I'm going to give to God so that way, hallelujah. The things that were overlooking and not intentionally done, hallelujah, are given to the Lord so that way God can take care of it. And now it might have been double, but it was a significant offering. It was an offering of accounts, a reflective offering given to the Lord. So these are the reasons why we give. We can look at the Levitical offerings as an example to point out the relevance to why we give today. And if we know why they gave over a period of time, we can ask God, how do we appropriate that in our hearts so that we can give today. Because as each man hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loveth a cheerful giver. All right, now I'm going to give you, and I'll go into this in detail, an explanation of the tithe. Now, I'm not going to have time to expand on it tonight, but in the last lesson, I'm going to expand on it, and I'm going to talk about the Lord of the vow and the commissioning factor of this message. And I thank you for listening to the broadcast, but let's finish with this. Tithing is an Old Testament concept. That's not true. That's what historically tithing is not an Old Testament concept, but it is because the Old Testament was based on the testament of the law, was the law, and the law was not established at the time the tithe was. But what people have said was that tithing is an Old Testament concept. So I wanted it to be clear that tithing is not an Old Testament concept, because it was introduced to the world before the law was fulfilled. And you can go back to Abraham and look in the life of Abraham and how God directed him. But the tithe was a requirement of the law, and it was a requirement prior to the law, in which the Israelites were given 10% of everything they earned and grew to the tabernacle and the temple. Now this is why we make certain that if we go to a place and worship God, we give systematically at a portion, percentage-wise, to that particular place. All right, now you can reflect on Leviticus 27:30, Numbers 18:26, Deuteronomy 14:24, and 2 Chronicles 31:5. In fact, it was required multiple times, which would have pushed a total around 23.3%, not the 10%, which is generally considered the tithe amount today. Some understand that the Old Testament tithe is mentioned of taxation to provide for the needs of the priests and the Levites as a sacrificial system. And that's how we see it in the scripture. It was a discipline that nation had to see that the worship component of the nation was fulfilled. So that's the true essence behind the tithe. But what we must understand is in scripture we see it before the law, before the covenant was actually contracted among the people. We see this practice all the way back to Adam. All right. So, everybody say 10%, but we can see that because of the amount of times and the way people tithe, it was actually 23.3% that was given to the Lord. The tithe, and I can tell you that there was more than one type of tithe in the scripture. There was the tithe of all, which Abraham gave, and then there was the Levitical tithe as well, in addition to some other ones, and we'll go through that in the commentary. Amen. So, I wanted you to hear that in the law in the Old Testament, if you're going to go by the law and say it's an Old Testament thing, it wasn't just only 10%, it was 23%. Amen. If the church was given, if everyone was given 23.3%, Lord, they'd say that's highway robbery. Amen. So we thank God. At least we know that the tithe means tenth. So if we're going to practice it today, we can give a tenth to the Lord. And God received that because of our heart. Amen. Well, the New Testament nowhere commands or even recommends that Christians submit to the legalistic tithing system. Doesn't tell us not to tithe. But Paul states believers should set aside a portion of their income in order to support the church. And you can refer to 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. The New Testament church nowhere designates the percentage of income a person should set aside, but only says it is to be in keeping with the income, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Some of the Christian churches have taken the 10% figure from the Old Testament tithe and applied it as a recommended minimum. For Christians in their giving, the New Testament talks about the importance of the benefits of giving, and we are to give as we are able. Sometimes that means giving more than 10%. Sometimes that may mean giving what you have. It all depends on the ability of the Christian and the needs of the church. That's why it's important you go to the right church. Every Christian should diligently pray and seek God's wisdom in the matter of participating in tithing programs and how much to give. James 1:5, above all tithes and offerings should be given with pure motives and an attitude of worship to God and service to the body of Christ. And each man should give what he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, that's a good way to end the lesson tonight, and I am over time, praise the Lord. But I thank you for yours. I believe that this study is going to be monumental, and if you will listen to it, your life will never be the same. Thank you for your time tonight. God bless you, and good night. I'll see you next week for more information on being committed, connected, and commissioned. To God be the glory for the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you listened to me give you a little historical facts. You heard the hype in my voice. At the end of the day, you need to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Repeat after me, I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me.
If you just prayed that prayer, give us a call at our 24-hour prayer center. 202-709-PC4U. That's 202-709-7240.
Give to a ministry that's making a difference. Go to our website now, urbanglorycampaigns.web.com/partner with us. urbanglorycampaigns.web.com/partner with us.